Hi there, and welcome to the 6th Annual Transforming Toddlerhood Conference. I'm so happy you're here with us today. I'm your host, Devin Koonsman, toddler expert and founder of Transforming Toddlerhood. I'm on a mission to dispel the myth that toddlerhood is terrible and empower parents and caregivers to overcome the challenges of toddlerhood, nurture their little ones' development, and create confidence in their parenting skills. And that's exactly what we're here to do today. And I'm so excited to be here with Jess Darrington, creator of Where is Briggs? Welcome, Jess.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So before we dive into all things toddlers and travel, there might be a few people watching who have never met you. So could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work?
Sure, of course. So my name is Jess, and I am a travel content creator. I started about, oh gosh, 5, 6 years ago, just working in the travel industry and creating content on social media platforms. And then I had my first little baby 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago. And I was so blessed and lucky to keep my job within the travel industry and just took the little one with me. So we continue to travel a lot, and we continue to bring our little baby with us, who is now a toddler, and he continues to travel with us to this day.
That's so exciting. I love it. And so a lot of folks, might be feeling a little bit like, oh my gosh, traveling with a toddler, traveling with a baby. It like sounds like a lot of work. So I have so many questions to ask you today to for you to help us to really prepare for travel and to make the most out of it with a toddler. And I'd love just to start by asking, what do you feel makes toddlerhood a challenging developmental period when it comes to travel? Like, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've experienced or see others experience?
Yes, so there's so many challenges, right? But I think one of the main ones, at least that I've experienced and I've worked with other people who have toddlers, is the fact that toddlers do like a schedule. They like to kind of know what's going on in their day, right? And travel is not a set schedule. There's so many different variables, and it's not a typical day for them. It's completely different from what they're expecting. And to be honest, it's probably completely different from what you're expecting too. You might expect to get on the plane at 8 a.m. and to get off at, 3 p.m. But there can be flight delays or flight cancellations, or just there's so many different variables. So I think, to at least what I have seen for toddlers, it can be kind of hard to process what's going to happen in a day, just because you personally, as the adult, don't even know exactly what's going to come. So I would say just having that variable schedule can definitely be a challenge when traveling with a toddler.
Yes, toddlers definitely thrive with predictability. And of course, they pick up on our energy as well. And so, whenever inevitably there's a flight canceled, a flight delayed, things of that nature, and we start feeling stressed. And then, of course, toddlers can pick up on that too. And not to mention, like, who is really at their best when you have like a 7 a.m. or a 6 a.m. flight and you have to get to the airport so early? Like, I mean, I am not even at my best. So, it's even harder for a little one.
Agreed. Yeah, like I find myself complaining probably equally as much as Briggs does, my little one, on a travel day. It's just human nature. And so I think sometimes we expect toddlers to be, on their best behavior. They can't complain, they can't cry, they can't express their human emotions, but we're feeling the exact same way. But I do like what you mentioned of they can definitely pick up on the energy and what we're feeling. So I definitely try and keep everything super calm and relaxed and happy and upbeat. That way my toddler can feed off of that energy instead of me being so stressed on travel day.
Yeah, it really requires a lot of thought and intention and energy from ourselves on these days. I feel like we need to like fortify ourselves to like gear up for it, you know?
For sure. Yep, for sure.
So, what do you feel is the biggest myth or misconception about traveling with toddlers?
Oh my goodness. I think the biggest one, at least on social media that I've seen, is just don't do it. It's not fun. You're not going to have a good time if you travel with a toddler, which I think is a complete myth. We've had amazing travel experiences with my toddler. Yeah, there's definitely struggle moments. I don't think anybody's expecting a day to go completely perfect when traveling with a toddler, but It is still incredibly rewarding and incredibly fulfilling to travel with a toddler and to see the world through their eyes. And so that's the myth that I'm currently fighting on social media right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when people think about traveling with their toddler, they probably are thinking about like how much it can feel like work on a day-to-day basis just to meet your own needs as a parent, as an adult, as a person, as an individual, and then meet the needs of a toddler, maybe a toddler and a baby, or two children. And so I think that when people, then look at travel, they might be thinking like, oh my gosh, now it's going to be even more work. So what advice do you have for parents and caregivers to kind of shift their mindset there so they can, get excited about upcoming travel?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the major mindset shift that has to happen is if you are expecting a trip to be like it was before you had kids, right? It was just you and your spouse, you and your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it may have been, going on a trip and just having that relaxing vacation. It's not going to be like that. And I think you just have to be able to accept it and be like, hey, this is going to look different than it did before we traveled with kids, but it still is going to be fulfilling and exciting, with the new challenges that arise just by traveling with a toddler. So I think just to kind of adjusting your expectations, don't think of it as a vacation like your honeymoon, but think of it as a hey, this is a new opportunity to show my little one the world and a different point of view, a different culture, new foods. And think of it, I like to think of it as a new just opportunity for them instead of a chance for me to relax. Because if I want to relax, I'm not going to take my toddler on vacation, right? Or I'm going to take grandma with me or something so we can have some time for relaxation. But if I'm going into a trip with the mindset of this is going to be like before. I'm going to sit on the beach, drink my drinks, just have a whole day to myself. It's not going to be like that. And so I think that's where people might get disappointed coming home and being like, that was not what I was expecting when I thought of vacation. But vacation with kids is very different than vacation before kids.
That's such a great point. I'm so glad you said this because I think it is important to prepare ourselves mentally to create just appropriate expectations for what this trip's going to look like, expectations for, toddler's behavior, just expectations for the experience of it, because you're right. It's nothing is the same as it was before kids, including travel and vacations. So, yeah, I think that's such a powerful thing to take a look at in advance, because if we don't take time to mentally prepare ourselves in that way in advance, then that's where, we might feel a lot of disappointment in kind of comparing what we expected the pre-kids vacation with what actually happened with a toddler. So.
Exactly. Yep. Setting expectations is always a good thing to do before you travel.
Yes. And so what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that you've run into just in general, traveling with a toddler, and how do you typically overcome them?
Yeah, so right now we are definitely dealing with the toddler tantrums and the screaming. And so we were like, as a baby, of course they're gonna cry, of course, right? But as a toddler, that I feel like those tantrums and those meltdowns are like 10 times what they were when they were a baby, right? Because they're learning, they're feeling all of these big emotions and something that they haven't been able to express before. Now they're able to express just a little bit more. So we have definitely recently, within the last, what, 6 months, are experiencing those toddler tantrums, for lack of a better word, when we're traveling. An example of this was we were just recently in Turks and Caicos, and we had to wait in their airport for our flight home for like an hour or two. Anyways, my husband, super sweet, went down, grabbed me a Snickers bar because I'm currently pregnant and wanted some chocolate. And he got my little one, Briggs, like a healthier option. But of course, when Briggs saw the Snickers bar, he of course wanted the chocolate before he wanted his healthy snack. And he had already had a treat that morning. So we said, no, no more sugar. Complete meltdown. Like the entire terminal heard us. I am sure of that. Just like the screaming, yelling, stomping, rolling on the floor, the works, right? And I think in this moment, it would have been so easy and convenient on my part to be like, okay, just take the Snickers bar, just, you know, just be done with the crying. But my husband and I were like, no, we gotta stay firm. So we set those clear boundaries. And then we were able to give him an option of like, hey, if you didn't want this, you know, healthy, I think he got him like a granola bar or something like that. Do you want this applesauce pouch that we have? So giving him options definitely helped, trying to put the power back in his control, where he just desperately wanted to choose what he wanted to eat, you know, but then keeping firm with those boundaries. And then in the end, just kind of shifting the focus a little bit and be like, oh, Briggs, did you see that airplane just take off outside? And then being able to walk and, you know, go see the airplane take off. So, definitely, there's probably a ton of ways to handle a toddler's tantrum in the airport. But I think trying to mimic the same behavior of how you would handle a tantrum at home when you're traveling as well is key, because it's so easy just want to hurry and give in and stop the crying, stop the screaming, just to fix the problem. But I think it will turn into a bigger problem down the road if they know they can get away with tantrums outside of the home. It might happen more frequently. I don't know. That's just my theory. So we're trying to stick with the same routine that we do.
Yeah, this is so great. Thanks for bringing up tantrums, because honestly, I think this is probably most toddler parents' worst nightmare when it comes to traveling, is like, I'm going to be the person in the airport, on the plane, on the train, wherever it is, with the child that's just screaming, and everyone's going to be looking at me, everyone's going to be staring me down. And so I'm so glad that you brought this up, because yes, public tantrums happen, because toddler tantrums happen. Tantrums are a part of typical part of toddler development. And when a toddler is outside of their predictability, right, outside of their predictable schedule, their familiar surroundings, there's going to be a lot more stress and pressure on them, which isn't a bad thing, but sometimes they need to let it out. And sometimes the smallest thing, or just maybe even too much excitement, might just trigger them into a tantrum. And so I also loved how you modeled with staying consistent and firm in the limit that you set, and then helping your little one work through it. And when we support a child with their emotions, and, you know, knowing that crying is part of them just offloading their feelings and emotions and working through and trying to accept the limit that's there, plus giving them a sense of control as you did, and then a little bit of like a way to move forward and re-engaging them in something else. That's really awesome. And it is true, the more consistent we can be with how we respond to tantrums is going to serve everyone in the end, because again, toddlers thrive on that sense of consistency and predictability. And that being said, if, you know, once in a while we aren't able to fully follow through the way we would at home, it's not going to be the worst thing in the world, because again, we want to be consistent. And I always say consistency doesn't mean perfect or perfection. It means that more often than not, it's predictable. So more often than not, it's predictable that you're going to respond in a certain way, then that's good enough.
Yeah. Yep. No, I love the way that you put that. That's awesome to hear. So thanks for saying that.
So what are your best tips for flying with toddlers? You know, thinking before plane, during plane, what are your best tips here?
So with the toddler, they're definitely, for example, the babies, they'll nap a lot more during the day. A toddler may be down to one nap a day, or maybe no naps a day. So that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending if you have a great on-the-go sleeper or not. Maybe you're planning your flight times around their nap. If you don't have a great on-the-go sleeper, maybe plan their flight time before or after a nap, so that way they're not overtired when you're traveling. So planning around nap time is always a nice thing. If you've got like a long haul flight where you're, you know, going from the US to Europe or vice versa, being able to take a red eye flight, if you've got a great on the go sleeper, is amazing, because you can knock out a whole flight and hopefully they'll sleep most of the way there. So, just knowing, will my baby sleep outside of his or her room, bed, crib, can be really helpful to know when you should book that flight. I also think it's important at that age to bring bring new and engaging travel toys. As a baby, right, that you can get away with just kind of, minimal toys and stuff like that. But for a toddler, I definitely think having a couple of toys for them to play with on the airplane is incredibly helpful. Because of course, nothing against, right? If you use screen time as a parent, that's great. But if you do want to not spend the entire flight watching a movie, having those travel toys definitely is a great way to get your toddler to not focus on the fact that they are trapped in an aisle and they have nowhere to go, because that can be quite, for a toddler who's always on the move, that can be quite stressful, knowing like, I've got to stay in this small little confined space for hours on end. But if you can figure out a way to keep them distracted and focused on something else, I found that it to be so much easier, the flight time. So we have a bag full of travel toys. And I say travel toys, they can be any type of toys. Obviously, the more compact, the easy to take with you, the better. But we actually keep our travel toys separate from our regular toys. So during when we're at home, these travel toys that we take with us are kept in the closet. And they're typically not played with on a day-to-day basis. But when we travel, those are the toys that we take. So that way they're not the typical toys that they're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. They're new and exciting. And then we'll rotate out the toys every couple of months, depending on, what type of travel that we're doing, whether it be car travel or airplane travel. So anyways, those would be plan around nap times and then bring travel toys for that age. It's really incredibly helpful.
I love it. That's super helpful. And especially thanks for defining what travel toys are, because they don't have to be specialized toys necessarily, but just toys that are new and exciting. I love it. I also have found that if you're able to, if your child is under two, but you're able to get their own seat, that this can be really supportive as well, just to have a little bit more space. And I've also found putting the toddler in the window seat gives them a little bit more freedom to move around between the seat and the floor versus like an aisle seat where you're just trying to like constantly contain them from like going up and down the aisle.
Exactly. And just by having that window seat too, they can look out the window, which can be really engaging for them, especially during, that takeoff landing period. If they're able to see out that window, that can be really cool distraction for, 10, 15 minutes of your flight.
I love it. And, a lot of times at airports, they're like, okay, anyone with kids, you can get on the plane first. Have you found, now that your little one is a toddler, do you find that getting on the plane first is supportive, or do you find that like waiting, getting on the plane last is more supportive?
Yeah, it totally depends. So this is what I would say. If you're traveling with a spouse or partner or grandma or grandpa, have them board the plane when they do the family boarding. Bring all the gear, especially if you have a car seat. Sometimes installing a car seat on the plane can take a few minutes. And if you're in the aisle trying to install it, it might take some time. So if you have a partner that's traveling with you, have them board the plane first. Put all the bags up, gate check the stroller, go install the car seat, just get ready. You stay off the plane until the very last moment with your toddler and then board the plane. That seems to be incredibly helpful. The only exception would be if you're flying Southwest where they don't have assigned seating, then you might want to get on the plane at the same time. So that way you're sitting in the same row. So that's always helpful. But if you're traveling solo with a toddler, you'll just have to weigh the pros and cons. If you've got a lot of stuff and you don't have assigned, or excuse me, if you have a lot of things and you don't have assigned seating, I would definitely get on the plane with family boarding to ensure that you get a seat together. But if you don't have a lot of things, you've got an assigned seat. Yeah, I have no problem waiting with Briggs until the last possible moment. Less time on the plane is better for all of us.
Do you have any like specific toys that you find Briggs is really enjoying as a toddler on the plane, or any that you find are like more user friendly or engaging for hours in a seat?
Yeah, I do. So we've been testing a lot of new travel toys recently, just because he's older now and able to play with a lot more new things. He has been really into drawing lately, or coloring or whatnot. So we have a couple different drawing pads, whether that be like a water pen pad or whether that be one of those LCD screens that he can just draw on as well. That seems to keep him engaged for a long time, especially if you as the parent are modeling and playing with him. So I'll ask him, okay, what do you want me to draw next? A dog or a cat? And then, he'll give me his answer and then I'll draw it. And then I'll be like, okay, your turn to draw. And then we'll go back and forth. Honestly, our last flight, that took up the entire flight. It was a short flight, like only a couple hours, but we spent the entire time just switching back and forth from his LCD pad to his waterworks pad, just drawing and coloring new things. So I would definitely, if your toddler is into that, that's something I would look into. Another option is we've really enjoyed those small tubes. Make sure they're TSA approved where they're under the size, but the small tubes of Play-Doh, those have been really fun because you have the tray. We have a little airplane tray too that attaches to the tray itself, but it has sides that come up around it. So nothing can fall off because you know how it goes with little, small little toys. So we'll put the tray up and then we'll put some Play-Doh down and we'll, you know, work on making shapes or making whatever it is. You know, his favorite thing is to make a ball or a snake or, you know, whatever, those simple things. But those things have been really helpful traveling with a toddler. Very simple toys, but it has so many uses where it's not just like a one objective toy. It's very there's so many different ways that you could use it and play with it. And those are the ones that we've really been enjoying.
Yeah. I mean, I think that any type of like Play-Doh, modeling clay, these types of things, they're like a really a favorite of mine to take places because I just find that since there are so many ways to play with it, then you're going to get more engagement out of it versus a toy that there's only one way to play with it. It's going to lose its luster a lot faster.
Yep, totally agree with that.
So what about snacks? Like, do you have any tips and tricks for toddler friendly snacks and like the stress of like getting through TSA and, you know, keeping them with you on the plane, all the things? Like, what are your best tips for this?
Perfect. So I will say flying within the US and versus flying international, you may come across just different things that may happen, right? Different rules. But if you're flying within the US, TSA allows you to bring food for your little one. They do not actually on their website have a specific age cutoff date. I have yet to run into a problem bringing snacks for Briggs. He's currently 2. So I really truly don't know when the TSA officers will be like, no, your toddler's too old, because there really is no defined age on their website of what is the cutoff to bring snacks for your little one. But I'm able to bring, if we're flying within the domestic US, to bring basically anything that we need for my little one. So we'll bring, you know, a carton of milk, we'll bring the strawberries, we'll bring the blueberries, we'll bring, you know, some veggies, we'll bring some, like some pouches, whether that be like an applesauce or a yogurt pouch, some crackers, and just keep it very basic. But all of these snacks are things that he has tried at the house. I'm not introducing any new foods to him while we're traveling because I don't think he would. I think already it's hard enough. There's so many new experiences. So I'm not going to try and introduce a new travel food to him while we're on the airplane. I'm going to keep everything very familiar of things that he knows from the house. And then I'll pack those the day before or the morning of the flight. If we're flying, you know, in the afternoon or the evening, and just pack them up. If I need like a little cooler bag, I'll bring a little cooler bag with me. But I have yet to have any problems with TSA taking snacks or drinks away for if you're flying with a little one.
That's great to know. And yeah, I think that's the thing in the unpredictability of travel and all of the newness that's happening on a travel day, looking at what we can keep consistent from home is such a great thing. So, you know, that could be from bringing like your child's favorite lovey to, you know, maybe like a favorite toy to bringing their favorite snacks. It might not be the time to just be like, only having like brand new snacks or trying to introduce something new. And some toddlers might be more flexible and be like, oh yeah, this is great. But other toddlers, they're going to be looking for what are like the little landmarks of like consistency from like their normal everyday life. And so I love that this idea that snacks could be part of that consistency.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I wish I had some like amazing snack ideas, but we just bring the things that he eats at from home, and that seems to be working great.
Yeah, I love it. But that's great because, you know, it's really just preserving that predictability in like in small areas where it's possible in the middle of, you know, a lot of change and different things happening. So,
for sure.
So, when it comes to traveling Traveling with car seats can feel daunting. They're like big, they're bulky. We want them to be safe for our child. Do you have any advice for traveling with car seats? I know a lot of parents, even like some of my friends, they're getting ready to go on a trip. They're like, Devin, we've never traveled with car seats. Like, what do we do? So I'd love to hear the advice that you have for families that are like, oh my gosh, I'm not only packing my kid, all of their things, their toys, their snacks, and now I have to lug these car seats with me.
Yeah, oh, it's a lot. Traveling with little ones is definitely not easy. And that definitely, right, when you're having to bring a car seat with you, it's a lot of work. There's no doubt about it. I will say, as a CPSD, I will recommend that the safest way to travel on an airplane is by having the car seat installed on the airplane and using it, especially during the takeoff and landing period, which can be the most dangerous time when you're flying with a little one. I also, though, understand everybody's circumstance is completely different. So there is no judgment from me if you, as a parent, feel like, we're not going to use the car seat on the plane. We're just going to bring our car seat to the destination. You will have to make that choice as a parent, what you feel like is best and safest approach for your family. If you do decide to bring your car seat on the plane, there's a couple of things. Make sure it is FAA approved. There's usually a little sticker on the side or the back to make sure you can bring it onto the plane with you. Also, make sure you know how to install your car seat on the flight. It's a little different than installing it in a car, so just be able to understand how to do that just makes it so much easier, so you're not stressing while getting on the flight of like, how do I work this? If you decide not to bring your car seat on the flight and you're deciding to check it, what I would recommend is using, if you have the original box, fantastic. A lot of US domestic airlines will let you check it in the original box. If you don't have the original box anymore, you can get like a padded car seat bag. There's so many different options on Amazon. You can put your car seat in there and you can choose to check it or gate check it. Most US airlines will allow you to do so for free on either option that you choose to do. And then you'll just pick it up either at the jet bridge or at baggage claim, depending on which way you decided to check it. I will say it's difficult, right? Whether you have it on the plane or whether you don't have it on the plane, I have found that having it on the plane is a little bit easier just because it is, my toddler knows what it is, right? He's been in the car seat in the car. He understands what's going to happen when he's sitting in the car seat. So if you're worried about, right, keeping that predictability and that schedule for your little one, having the car seat on the plane may just be just another added benefit. So they know, like, oh no, I've got to stay in my car seat. This is what we do, I will say, just make sure you're still following the 2 hour rule, which applies to cars, as every 2 hours you should be getting your little one out for a break. I usually recommend 10 to 15 minute break outside of the car seat. And that same rule applies when you're flying too. Make sure they're not sitting in the car seat for more than 2 hours and they have that time to breathe, move around, stretch their muscles. Yes. Anyway, sorry, that was so much information all at once, but I hope that kind of helped you with the car seat question.
Yeah, it's great because there are a lot of options. And I think that that's like the first thing to realize is there's a lot of options when it comes to flying with a car seat. And so going through the options, knowing your options, and then deciding what's going to work best for your family is an important part of it. And so I think that's great. And just knowing that, sometimes it'd be nice if there's like a cut and dry answer, and it's like, yes, there's a lot of options, and so you have to figure out what works best for your family. And then it's like, okay, now we get to our destination. Oh, we got through that travel part. We're there. Now we're maybe at an Airbnb or a hotel or something like this. And now we've got to figure out the whole sleep situation with a toddler. What advice do you have around this?
Yes. Okay. So honestly, sleep and travel and just being on vacation can be either really amazing or really difficult, right? It depends on the stage. It depends on how much practice you've had beforehand. So I will say, before you start traveling with your little one, I would practice using the sleep situation or sleep setup that you plan to use on vacation at home in their nursery. So for me personally, with my little one Briggs, when he was a baby, we used a travel crib and we used the slumber pot on top of it. That seemed to be the best way he would sleep while we were in a hotel. As a toddler at 2 years old, he just did not like his travel crib anymore. He just got too big. He wanted to move around a little bit more. And so we transitioned to a toddler inflatable mattress. And we used the slumber pot as well. And we kept the same strategy. Now I will say, I think I personally, and I'll tell parents this, I think I went about it the wrong way for the toddler because I wish I would have transitioned him at home from his crib to a toddler bed before I transitioned him to a toddler bed while we were traveling. And we travel a couple times a month, right? So he just needed to learn very quickly, but I wish I would have started practicing the same sleep scenario at home before I transitioned him to, a big bed, toddler bed while we were traveling, because I think as a baby, that definitely helped him to adjust to the travel circumstances. So as a toddler now, we use the same strategy. We use that inflatable toddler mattress. We put the slumber pot on top. We follow the same sleep routine, right? We do the bath time, we do, the story, everything like that. We use the sound machine. And we try to mimic the exact same scenario and same routine that we do at home when we're in the hotel as well. And that seems to work the best for us.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that this is the thing is a lot of times in the heat of the moment, whether it's we're in a hotel and we're trying to get our toddler to sleep, or we're like dropping them off at preschool or something like this, or whatever the situation might be, or maybe they're just throwing toys or whatever the challenge is, we oftentimes like in that moment, it's the first time we're trying to either teach them a skill or show them how to do it or have it go differently. When so I always say we want to practice in the calm moments. We want to teach skills, teach behaviors, teach children how to do things in the calm moments. So then in the chaotic moments where everyone's in their stress response and survival mode, then the skills will start to more easily transfer. But if we only practice in the stressful moments, that's not really, we're not really in a place to teach sometimes because we're getting stressed, and toddlers aren't in a place to learn because they're in their stress response as well. So I love this idea of practicing in advance because now we're familiarizing them with something new before we're in the new situation.
Exactly. Yeah. And right. Just like us too, as adults, I feel like practicing before a big event in my life is definitely helpful. And I think the same with sleep. It's just helpful to be able to practice in their crib at home in the sleep environment that they know, recognize. It will just be incredibly helpful when you get on vacation and hopefully everybody can sleep well. It's hard when you're sharing a hotel room with a toddler. I totally understand that. But practicing beforehand, like you said, is definitely key, I think, to helping everybody sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what about for families that might have some road trips coming up? And so maybe they're not going to be flying, but they're going to be maybe taking like a 5 or 6 hour car ride or something like this. Do you have any other tips for car travel versus plane travel?
Yeah, of course. So, like I mentioned earlier, the 2 hour rule, basically that just says about every 2 hours you should get your little one out of the car seat. That just helps for a lot of reasons, but it also helps you as a parent and your sanity. So with your road trips, I think setting your expectations is the very first thing that you need to do. So if you've got a 5 hour road trip, maybe plan that this road trip is going to take 7 hours instead of the 5 hours, right? Because you're factoring in those breaks every 2 hours. I usually recommend having a 10 to 15 minute break. Of course, if you're going to sit down and eat lunch, that can be anywhere from a half hour to an hour, depending on where you go. But scheduling those breaks in and just preparing and expecting for it is incredibly helpful. So then you're not stressed as a parent of like, oh, we're behind schedule. No, we're just going to power through. You got to stay in your car seat. It doesn't work out well. So take the breaks. If you can figure out beforehand too of like some cool stops along the way, if you're traveling during a time where it's nice outdoors, being able to stop at local playgrounds is extremely helpful just to get their wiggles out and be able to have some fun stops along the way. So if you let your little one know like, hey, our next stop, we're going to stop at this playground, or hey, our next stop, we're going to stop at your favorite restaurant, or whatever it may be, can be like a fun little way for them to mark the passage of time as well. Of course, having your car seat safe toys in the car with you. I would say the same thing with travel toys. Keep those toys separate than your typical day-to-day toys. Have them be different so your toddler isn't expecting the same thing that they would get at the house. And then for me personally, I'm okay with a little screen time. So if you need to, you know, watch a little show, totally get that too. But yeah, I guess those would be my tips. If you can start to, for example, Briggs is a great on-the-go sleeper. He loves sleeping in his car seat. So if we're able to start our road trip at his nap time, it can knock off, you know, an hour or two of him just sleeping and us just being able to have a peaceful drive. And then when he wakes up, then we'll get out, take a little break, whether that be a snack or a lunch break or whatever it may be. But being able to factor in some time when they're sleeping can be really beneficial too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love this idea of like planning different stops and like, you know, maybe like a local playground or favorite restaurant, something like this. And I even think like for highway travel, if you can pull over at a rest stop for your break versus like a gas station, usually at rest stops there's some bit of grassy area for a child to run around a little bit. And so even just strategizing like using a rest stop over a gas station might be supportive as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, sometimes the gas stations, there is nothing right that's around that's safe for your toddler to play at. So if you're able to, like you said, find even just a patch of grass for them to just run around in, that's going to be so much more beneficial than stopping at a gas station where they really can't explore at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I would love to ask you as we're starting to wrap up here, like what are some items that like you always pack for your toddler that we might not think about off the top of our head, like whether this is in your checked luggage or something you always have in your bag, but is there anything that you always pack or have with you that might not be like an obvious thing to think about or bring?
Yeah, so I think one of the things for me personally is when if we're traveling, and this specifically applies to I think airplane travel, is I will not pack his sound machine in our checked bag. I'll actually bring his portable sound machine on the plane with us. And so I think a lot of parents will just automatically be like, oh, they're going to sleep at nighttime. I'm going to throw it in there. But for me personally, I use our sound machine at a low volume on the flight just to help him sleep. So that's something that I think a lot of parents might just overlook of thinking, oh, well, we'll get to our destination in the evening time, but forget about naps along the way. So that's something that I would say. I would also say for the toddler age, snacks. I have so many snacks in my bag just because I never know. Sometimes I eat a lot more on travel days and sometimes I eat a lot less on travel days. But just making sure I have a ton of healthy snacks and options for, you know, my little one is definitely something that I always keep in my travel bag because you never know.
I love it. Those snacks are so important. You never know when you're going to need a snack, whether you're a
Yeah.
toddler or an adult. Sometimes we just need a
Yeah.
snack.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, sometimes I will use his snacks because I just need a snack, you know? So it can benefit us both.
Exactly. So for parents and caregivers that just might be preparing for their first trip with their toddler, what's one action step they can take today just to get started and preparing and just get started going in the right direction?
Yeah. I would start preparing. So start thinking about the scenarios that your little one is going to be facing. So for example, like off the top of my head, what I'm thinking is if you're taking your little one to the beach for the very first time and they've never really experienced sand, maybe, you know, finding a local place that has a sandbox, introducing sand to them for the first time. Because I know if you don't introduce it, it can be kind of that different texture. I remember as Briggs as a baby, he did not like the sand at all. He didn't want to touch it. And I've known some toddlers too, if they've never been introduced to it at a young age and they go on vacation for the first time, this sand can be like a weird sensation. So maybe just thinking of those things like, hey, my toddler's going to experience this and it's going to be new to them, whether that be, you know, the ocean or whether that be the mountains or high elevation or whatever it may be, to try and figure out a way how to replicate that at home. So for the sand, maybe finding kinetic sand, right? If it's winter outside and you can't go play outside, maybe ordering a little package of kinetic sand and just showing them like, hey, this is sand. This is what we're going to experience on the beach. Or if you're going to a place where you're going to experience high altitude, For example, like if you're going to like Peru and Machu Picchu, you're going to experience incredibly high altitudes. Maybe what you need to do is find a local mountain near you, go up to the top of it, just have your little one experience the sensation of being a higher altitude. And also, you as a parent, for health reasons, you can kind of see like, how is my little one handling higher elevations? You know what I mean? So if you can just figure out a way to replicate some scenarios that you may experience on vacation at home, can be extremely helpful to prepare for your travel day and your travel destination.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And are there any words of wisdom or anything you want to leave us with as we go out into the world and start planning some awesome toddler trips?
Yes, I would say do it. It is worth it. It can be extremely intimidating, exhausting at times, and just it can be hard. But honestly, it can be extremely rewarding as well to see your little one experience the ocean for the first time, or see your little one explore, the local campsite, even if you don't want to go far. Just getting out there and letting your toddler explore the world is very, very rewarding as a parent that I've found.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And where can everyone go to just learn more?
Yeah, you guys can find us on social media. We have platforms on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, the works. And then our handle is Where is Briggs?
Awesome. Well, Jess, this has been such a fun conversation, and I'm sure everyone watching has learned a lot and benefited greatly. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to be here today and for sharing all of your expertise with us.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed being here with you today.
Wonderful. And to everyone watching, we'll see you again soon. Bye.